It's always a delight to minister the Word of God. The Scripture says that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And the words of God, that's our guidebook. And you know, there's a lot of things that are said, a lot of ideas, and a lot of other books. But the Word of God never fails. And it has stood the test of time. For thousands and thousands of years, people have relied on this word. And today, more people are relying on the word of God than at any other time in history. Praise God. So it's an honor to minister the word of God. Today I want to speak to you about the impartation of peace. I find that more people are losing their peace than ever in the history of my life, at least in this country and in North America. I know we might look back at times of war, such as the Second World War, and we would say, well, a lot of people lost peace at that time. But there's an erosion taking place in the United States of America, and it's affecting many, many people. You might be a person who is really struggling with this issue. But the Lord says that He will keep in perfect peace. Whosoever keeps their mind on Him, whoever focuses on the Lord, He says He will keep you, not just give you peace, not just a small amount of peace, but He will give you perfect peace. It comes as a gift from God. Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, "My peace I give unto you." It's an impartation. It comes from God. And there are so many attacks against you today. It may be because of busyness. It may be because you are just so hectic. Your life has become so hectic that you're running from pillar to post and you're just worn out. It may be because you have physical pain in your body. And because of it, it's hard to hold on to peace. There may be strife in your home where there's dysfunction, or husbands and wives are quarreling, or children are quarreling with their parents or with one another. Then you say there is no peace. It may be because of an attack of witchcraft against you, where there is such a revolt against you in the spirit world that there is a kind of tormenting spirit that would come against you and want to bring you down. There are so many reasons. It might be because you are carrying worry, an unbearable burden, because you don't know how things are going to work out. It may be because you haven't forgiven somebody, and so there's a bitter root in your life. And any one of those things and other things besides can bring you to a place where the peace that you once knew somehow drained out of you, and you don't know what to do anymore. It's not just in the world. It's in the church. Christians need to know about the impartation of peace. Because you cannot be everything that God wants you to be. You cannot be great in the purposes of God unless you have the peace of God in your life. You won't survive the journey. Well, you may survive it by the skin of your teeth, if there is such a thing. But you will not be full of the overcoming anointing if you are full of fear and you lack the peace of God. So today, I want to talk to you about the impartation of God's peace. And while I am speaking, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, take hold of it. Say, "Lord, yes." He's going to tell you today what you need to do to get hold of this peace of God. It's for you. Let's open our Bibles to Numbers chapter 6 and verse 22. This is what the Lord said to Moses in Numbers 6 verse 22. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Do you see what God said to Moses? And he said, Moses, tell Aaron, this is how he is to bless the people. This is how a priest is to bless the people of God. He says a number of things, actually five things. He says, when you bless the people of God, say, the Lord bless you. Why don't you say it? The Lord bless you. Then say, and keep you. That means to protect you. And the third thing is, the Lord make his face shine upon you. Say, make his face shine upon you. That means the favor of the Lord is upon you. And the fourth thing is, and be gracious to you. Say, and be gracious to you. That means the kindness of God comes to you. And then the Lord turn his face toward you. Say, turn his face toward you. That means he gives you his attention. He hears your prayers. He responds to you. And then the last thing is, and give you peace. So this is the priestly blessing. And it is what God told the priest to do. Because he is working on behalf of God. And he's the one who's to release it. So he says, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be kind or gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. You know, you cannot have peace unless all of those five things are in your life. You have to get it from the Lord. You cannot find this peace from a doctor or a psychiatrist. You cannot find it from your wife. You cannot find it from your husband. You cannot find it from your parents. You only find this kind of peace from God Almighty and through Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And, you know, the city where he's coming to rule is called the City of Peace. It's Jerusalem. Everything about the Lord is about peace. Do you know that this message about peace is the main message that Paul preached to the church? Now, Paul was a great evangelist, a great apostle, so his ministry was to unsaved people. But when he spoke to the church, he said, this is my main message to you, that the God of peace would give you peace. That's the words of the Apostle Paul. If you want to read it, it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. And it says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. In all times, good times, bad times, and middle times. In all times and in every way, he gives you peace. May the God of peace give you peace at all times and in all ways. And then Paul says, I write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark of all my letters. This is how I write. Now, Paul didn't write all of his own letters. In fact, most of his letters were penned by somebody else. So when he's saying, I wrote this letter in my own hand, he's not saying that is his distinguishing mark for all of his letters, because he didn't write all of his letters. He's saying this message of peace is my distinguishing mark for all of my letters. Paul wants us to get this. To the church, he has the gospel of salvation. He has the gospel of the good news to come into the kingdom of God. But for you who are in it, the church needs to learn to take hold of the kingdom of God. Take hold of the peace of God. Now we read a story in the book of Luke about Jesus ministering powerful healing. Excuse me, in the book of Mark. Go to Mark. Powerful healing in Mark chapter 5. And this is what it says in verse 1. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came out of the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had been often chained hand and foot. And he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. And night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry. He would cry out and cut himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." That's the demon speaking inside of him. For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And the man, he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. And a large herd of pigs was feeding on a nearby hillside. Obviously, they had Gentile farmers at that farm. And the demons begged Jesus, "Send us into the pigs. Allow us to go into them." And he gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out of the man and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Isn't it amazing that the peace of God finally comes to such a tormented man, and when it happens, the people become frightened? It's as if you kind of think, well, weren't they frightened when the man was full of demons? This man had a legion of demons inside of him. That is 6,000 demons. And those 6,000 demons, when Jesus cast them out of the man, went into 2,000 pigs. And the pigs couldn't handle it. They committed suicide. So all of what 2,000 pigs couldn't handle, one man was still alive with such a beehive of demons inside of him. This is a picture of such torture and such torment and such fear. This man in the hills and among the tombs would cry out. They tried to chain him, but the demons inside of him moved through his body and broke the chains. They couldn't hold him. This man was so tormented that he not only cried, but he cut himself with stones. He hated himself. He hated what was happening to him. The man was in such spiritual and emotional pain, he didn't know what to do with himself. I have met people like this in many, many countries around the world. In India, we've seen people like this delivered. In Africa, in South America, in different places around the world, and also in Canada and the United States of America. People tormented like this. Many of them are in mental institutions, but do not think for a minute it is just a mental issue. It may be also a chemical issue or a mental issue, but there are demons afoot in America, and they're here by the truckload, and people who do not come under the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ are under their demise. They are in a place of where conspiracies are against them. And as they sin and as they open their lives to darkness, more and more levels of darkness come. With the internet, with the movie channels, with everything that's on the TV and in the media, with what's taught in our universities, People are drinking from a poison cup. And they're opening their lives to all kinds of torment and pain and anguish and suffering. And Jesus said, I've come to set the prisoner free. I've come to open the prison doors. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach good news. He hasn't come to give you guilt. He hasn't come to give you sorrow. He hasn't come to put you through it. He hasn't come to test you beyond what you can handle. He hasn't come to increase pressure on your life. He's come to set you free, to open prison doors. He's come to lift off the oppression and the burden and to open the eyes of the blind. He's come for you. And He says, I've come to change the assignment over your life and over your family and to declare the year of God's favor. That's why Jesus has come. And I work for Him. And so do you. That same power that is in Jesus is at the end of your fingertips and through the words of your mouth, if you have faith and if you are a friend of God's, if you have those two things going for you. But some of you are tormented. Some of you do not know the peace of God. Now, you may not be in the same situation as this man was. In fact, I don't know anybody in this church who is in that situation where they have to chain you and you cut yourself with rocks and scream out in the hills and around the tombs and you can't keep clothes on yourself. I don't know anybody like that, not here in this church. If that's your secret life, please come and tell me. I've got work to do. But there's different levels of fear and worry and pain and difficulty. And you might say, I'm not like that man, but you know what? I really don't have peace. I don't have this perfect peace. I need peace in my life. You know, part of the Declaration of Independence is called the pursuit of happiness. I want you to know, Jesus doesn't only want you to pursue happiness, He wants to make you happy. He wants to give it to you, not something you're chasing after in a pursuit of happiness, but a gift from God, an impartation. And you cannot be a happy person unless the peace of God is inside of you. It doesn't matter how much you jump and laugh and dance and do whatever is necessary. It doesn't matter who you're with. If there's not a peace inside of you, in your heart, nothing else will satisfy you. Today is a day to get right with God so that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, that's greater than any of your logical ideas. You cannot make it happen on your own. It is an impossibility. Because the God of peace has to give this peace to you. He says, peace I give you, not like the world gives. The world cannot give it to you. It's not available outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. But with Him, it doesn't matter where you're coming from. Let me say something else to you. The problems that you've had to face is not the reason for your lack of peace. You might say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I've gone through. When I was going to Florida this past month and we preached in seven different places, there were two kinds of people in Florida. It seemed that everybody was facing difficulties. And I have many friends in all of these different churches. And some of them, the first thing that they would do, they would come up to me and say, hello, Pastor, it's nice to see you. Thank you for coming. Do you know, I've had such a bad year. I've had three people in my family die. My back went out in the middle of the year. I had three car accidents and my dog died. I lost my job and I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm thinking, You're telling me this just before I'm going to get up and preach? But it doesn't affect me. But I want to take that person and say, how long have you been a Christian? Do you think all of those things are a reason for you to lose your peace? My daddy said to me a long time ago, he said, Peter, you're going to be late for work today. We're in rush hour traffic, bumper to bumper, kind of like on the 485 in a snowstorm. And when I was on my way to work, and my dad looked at me, he saw that I was looking at my watch and I was frustrated, and he said, Peter, you're going to be late. That means you lost once. If you get upset over it, you lost twice. Amen. You see, it's not the problems in your life that bring the lack of peace. It's because the problems pulled you away from Jesus. The focus changed. You did not know what to do to keep the peace and to have the peace in your life. That's why the Bible says, pursue peace. In your marriage, pursue peace. Follow peace and go after it. You might say, well, I've got to be right. Husband and wife have a decision to make. One says this is the way it should go. The other one says this is the way it should go. The Bible says, pursue peace. Not just for the woman, not just for the man, but both. And so you let something go because it's not worth it. You might say, well, I'm not a compromising kind of person. Well, you need to be. Because when two get married, they become one. It's no longer individuals, but two working together. And so they pursue peace. In fact, the Bible says this. It says, great peace have they that love my law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, I once saw some comedy skit a long, long time ago where the job was to offend somebody. And they sat somebody down, and it was kind of funny for a little while, but it kind of got obnoxious after a while. But they started to throw insults at the person just to get their goat, just to get them riled up. And they were just throwing all kinds of crazy insults against them. But the person was sitting there and saying, nope, I'm not offended. It doesn't bother me. You can say what you want. It doesn't matter. Well, your life should be like that. You should say, it doesn't matter what the devil wants to throw at me today. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I will not be beneath. I will always be on top. I will not be the tail. I will be the head. That is my calling. That is who I am. That is my life. But this takes some decisions on your part. So let's very quickly look at seven things. You wonder where I got that number, don't you? On how you can get this perfect peace. And if you're taking notes, you're wise, because the paper is smarter than you. When you forget, the paper still remembers. So, the first thing you do is surrender your life to Jesus. If you have not surrendered, and I mean surrender, that means you give up. And in that process, you may need curses broken, even generational curses. You may need deliverance. You definitely need to commit yourself for salvation, for the forgiveness of your sins. So the first thing is to surrender your life to Jesus if you want peace in your life. The second thing you have to do is to forgive everybody. Do you know what happens with some people? You've seen it before. When somebody hurts them, they plant a flag. Have you ever seen that? They allow it to set in them. In fact, they willingly set the offense. Somebody comes up to them and says something nasty to them or does something bad to them. And immediately they said, who do they think they are? I will not stand for that. I'm going to get my revenge. Or in some way, they retaliate in their spirit and they set the offense in themselves. If you ever do that, don't do it anymore. Do you know when people hurt me? I don't think you can be a pastor without getting arrows in your back from time to time. Amen. And when somebody offends me, sometimes it's to my face. Before they walk away, I forgave them. It doesn't matter to me how bad or how nasty it is. I don't remember any time in my life when I didn't forgive somebody within the same day that they hurt me. And I've been hurt pretty bad. I wouldn't even want to tell you how. So the second thing is to forgive, and do not set your heart for hatred, because you poison yourself and you cannot have the peace of God if you are a wounded person. You got to get rid of that wound. The only way to get rid of that wound is to settle the issue. You can't get rid of a wound through some kind of closure or some kind of justice or some kind of vengeance. You cannot get rid of that wound by those things. You only get rid of the wound when you forgive and give it to Jesus. Then Jesus can heal you and wash you. So if some of you have some forgiveness that's necessary, do it as quick as you can. The third thing, if you want peace in your life, you have to walk free of sin. The Bible calls it sins that so easily beset you. You know, some sins, I will have to say, you won't go to hell because of them. In fact, I think most people who go to heaven are really messed up. Yeah, it's by the grace of Jesus and by His blood. But people fail and fail and fail and fail, and Jesus forgives and forgives and forgives and forgives. He even told Peter, when Peter asked, how many times should I forgive somebody who's offended me? 7 times? And Jesus said, 7 times 7, right? Say it out louder. 7 times 70 times. It's like 490 times. Jesus said, if somebody offends you, forgive them. So it's as if the Lord was saying, no matter how many times somebody hurts you, forgive them. So if the Lord is telling that to His disciples, how much more is He applying it to Himself for people? But there are some sins, even though you can be forgiven of them, they so easily beset you. They push you off the mark. They take you away from the call of God. You know, if you have a life of sin, you won't have confidence. You won't want to serve the Lord because you'll be ashamed. You'll feel guilty. You won't be able to speak with authority, because every time you do, that sin will come up in your memory and you'll feel disqualified. So, get under the blood of Jesus. Just say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Do it regularly. And then walk holy before the Lord so that you can have His peace. He says, this is the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy. First comes righteousness. If you're not a righteous person, if you're not walking in obedience to the Lord, you won't get the other two things, peace and joy. Righteousness has to come first. So, first, surrender your life to Jesus. Second, forgive all. Three, walk free of sins that so easily beset you. The fourth thing is to cast all of your cares. Now, there are some mums here, and I've seen mums overcare. You know, when it's, I call it smother love. You know, when some mums are afraid of the rain for their children. When we were kids, we used to play in the puddles. Some mums just so protect, and they think they're doing a good service, but they're not. They're so protecting, it's like putting a child in a greenhouse. They have no way of developing because they're so overprotected. Well, it can get worse than that, and not just for moms, dads, and everybody can become fearful. Fearful of everything, fearful of the economy failure, fearful of terrorists coming into this nation, fearful of the great tribulation, fearful of all kinds of problems, fearful of sin coming into their children's lives. If you want peace, you know what you have to do? You have to do what you're supposed to do to be a good parent, to love and discipline and counsel well. And then you've got to give it to Jesus. You cannot live the life of your children, but Jesus will watch over them. And even if they wander, God will bring them back if you bless them and if you stand in faith for them. But worry is the opposite of faith. That's anti-faith. And you need to cast all your cares upon the Lord at the end of the day. The fifth thing is you have to let the peace of God rule in your heart. You can read about it in Colossians. It says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. What does that mean? It means focus your attention, the thoughts of your mind, on the Lord. Because the Bible says He will keep in perfect peace whoever keeps their mind focused on Him. So, when I wake up in the morning before I get out of bed, I'm talking with Jesus. I'm committing my day to Him. I'm asking Him what that meant in my dream. I'm praying for people in my dream. I'm praying for people who are sick and family members and friends who need prayer. And that's before I brush my teeth. And while I'm brushing my teeth, I'm talking to God. I'm saying, Lord, what is it about today? What miracles are happening today? Here I am. Lord, I'm in partnership with You. I'm Your servant. I'm here to serve You, Lord. I'm walking with You today in the power of the Holy Spirit. I leave the house that way. I come home that way. I don't like to listen to too much music because I'm talking with the Lord. Once in a while, I'll listen to music. But let the peace of God rule in your heart. So then let it rule. Don't you keep that focus, but then all of a sudden something happens. On the way to church this morning, I saw an elderly gentleman walking down the road. He was all bent over, and he was walking kind of like this. And he looked like he was in his 80s. And when I started to drive past, I was all alone in the car. He put out his thumb to hitchhike. I thought, this poor man. So I thought, I don't know what I'm going to be able to do. I'm on my way to church, but I got to stop. I remembered the story of the Good Samaritan, and I was not going to be that Levite who walked on the other side. I am a Levite, but I'm not walking on the other side. So I pulled off to the side, and I backed up because he could hardly make it to the back of the car. And he got inside. And I said, I don't know how far I'm going to be able to take you, sir, but where do you need to go? And he said, I need to go to City Hall. I said, it's Sunday. City Hall's not open. He said, well, I could go to the police station. I need to get some information. So I took him as far as I could, and all the time I'm praying for him. What is this meeting all about, Lord? I don't know how long that man's got to live on this planet, but he met me today. And as I drove off after letting him off, I prayed and prayed and prayed for his soul. He can't help himself now. God's coming after him. Do you understand that? That's how you rule your mind. When there's all kinds of things coming in, you let the purpose of Jesus Christ be at the top of the list for your decision making. It's not convenient. The call of God on your life is never convenient. But it's where the peace of God comes. Do you know, if I didn't stop and pick up that man, it would be bothering me right now while I'm preaching this sermon. In the back of my mind, there would be this thing going on. Not because you have to stop and pick up every man, but when the Holy Spirit tells you to do it, you have to do it. And let the peace of God rule. Let that rule in your heart. And when fear comes, or all kinds of accusations or offenses, you cut it off. You bring every thought captive. Now there's two more things. And this one is very practical. But you've heard this one from those motivational speakers so many times that I'm not going to dwell on it. But if you want peace in your life, here are three very practical things. But this is point number six. One, organize your life. Your home should be organized. My wife is the best organizer I know. She organizes me. And it's a gift from God. I can't say I love her enough for all that she does. Everything in our home is organized. If not, I wouldn't get anything done. The second thing on this list is don't procrastinate. Now, I'm good at this. If there's a job that I need to do, and I can do it in the next minute, I'm going to do it in the next minute. That way I get lots of jobs done. But if you put it off because you don't have motivation, you don't feel like it, that will climb up on you like disorganization, and you will eventually lose your peace because of it. Things will become hectic if you're a procrastinator. And thirdly, simplify your life. Don't do everything. Do what God tells you to do. It doesn't mean you only do things that you like, because that you have to do things that you don't like too, because God wants you to do them. But make it simple. All right? Don't just do everything for everybody, but do what God wants you to do. So, number six is organize your life, simplify it, and don't procrastinate. And lastly, if you want the peace of God in your life, live in a community with people of peace. You ought to find people who impart peace, who know how to walk in peace in the roughest times. We have just come into this facility. It is overwhelming with the amount of finances and work that needs to be done here. We actually need your help. Please come and help us. But our pastoral team and our leadership team, we're in perfect peace. We're working real hard, but we're not rattled. And because we're with a people of peace, there's a spirit of peace here. There's a spirit of peace among all those who partner with us in the ministry. You can't live in a chicken yard with chickens running around squawking and biting each other and expect not to be fried at the end of the day. But if you're with the lambs, find the Lamb of God community where the peace of God is and the power of God is. And that Lamb community will have the peace of God in rough times as well as in good times, in busy times as well as in relaxing times. Peace of God is not conditional upon your circumstances or the amount of problems or difficulties you've had. That's not. That's how the world measures whether or not they can have peace. But not for the believer. Not for the disciple. The disciple says, I receive the peace of God. I receive it. Now I want to pray over you. I hope you wrote down those seven things. I would like you to stand to your feet now. Let the power of the Lord come. Some of you really need a touch from God now. Some of you have heavy burdens, unbearable burdens. Some of you have unforgiveness. Some of you need to organize your life. Some of you need to commit yourself to the people of God, to the lamb community, not the chicken community. Choose your church. I don't know which church is which, but don't go to the chicken church. Go to the Lamb Church, place where you find the peace of God. Forgive, cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Quit sinning. That's a tall order. You can't do it by yourself. But the Holy Spirit in you will give you the power you need for this. I'm just going to stand with you now. If there's a witchcraft in you because of the stuff you've been messing with, we're going to break it now in the name of Jesus. I want you to pray this prayer of dedication. Would you do that? Hold your hands out. Would you say, Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. Today I rededicate my life to you. I want the peace of God in my life. So I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And I forgive all those who have hurt me. I renounce witchcraft. I will have none of it in my life. You are my God. I surrender everything to you. Lord, I ask you to help me now. And allow the peace of God to fill my heart and my mind. I receive your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Now put your hand on your heart. I'm going to pray over you now. In the name of Jesus, I break every spirit of witchcraft that would come against you and your family. I break its power in the name of Jesus. I speak the love of God to you for health in your physical body. I pull the pain out in the name of the Lord Jesus. I speak the resurrection power of the Lord into your life. I speak peace into your home. I speak a new assignment, the favor of God. I open up the prison doors for you, and I release you from that place of darkness. I speak God's strength to you today, the goodness of the Lord. I impart it to you in the powerful name of Jesus. I speak the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. I speak it over you and your family. In the powerful name of Jesus, I impart it to you for the glory of God. Let it come now, Lord. Let the river of peace flow upon your people. Wash them now. Wash their feet from the dust of the road. Wash their hearts. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you in all of your power. In all of your designs, in all of your assignments, we say yes. Lord, we lift our children to you now. We ask for a move of the Holy Spirit on our children and grandchildren. We speak the blessing of the Lord over them and the peace of God. We pull out every arrow of abuse out of your heart now. I pull it out. I pull the hurt out of your heart in the name of Jesus. Whew. I stand with you for the love of God in your family. I release it over you now. In the name of Jesus. Now just say thank you to him. Just start to worship the Lord. Say hallelujah, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wind of God. Wind of the Holy Spirit. Let it come now. Let your power come. You're the Prince of Peace. The God of Peace. Oh, yes, Lord. Let it come. Let the glory of the Lord come. Let the glory of the Lord come. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask very gently for the ministry team to come to the front. Hallelujah. Let the ministry team come forward, please. If you would like more prayer, if you need to have somebody pray over you, we invite you to come. These folk are anointed of God, and they will pray over you, and they will not embarrass you, but they will bless you with kindness and goodness. They're here just to bless you. They're not here to offend you or to in any way make things difficult for you, but to bless you today. So I'm going to release you now in the name of the Lord. And then if you would like prayer, I'd like you to come up here. And if you're on a Nehemiah team, I'd like you to go to that back table to meet my wife, Joy, and to get some of those Mother's Day cards. But let me just bless you now. In the name of Jesus, I speak blessing over your life, over your health, over your children, over your whole family. I release the blessings of God where you work and with your neighbors. I speak the blessings of the Lord when you go to your house and when you leave it. I speak the blessing of the Lord when you're on your journey and when you're at home in your bed. I pronounce the goodness and favor of God on your marriage and on your family, on your life. I speak it in Jesus' mighty name. God bless you.